Good afternoon. So I'd like to give a brief introduction to Pastor Tim. Many of you... So Pastor Tim has actually a very long relationship with our church, even before we were a church. He's worked with ACCC for many years, and some of you may have worked with the Woodgate Missions, which has also worked through Pastor Tim. We first met him when we were at the Warehouse Church, and he came and spoke to us on several occasions. And as he's already demonstrated, and you will soon see, Pastor Tim is full of passion and energy, and his mission field has just flourished and borne much fruit through the years. And we're so thrilled to continue to work with him and support his ministry. Our youth are very active in the Whirlwind Missions, and many of you know it as the Whirlwind Missions. And this was interesting in the term that that Pastor Tim has chosen for his mission, Whirlwind. And I think, as you will soon see, it's very appropriate to describe Pastor Tim himself. And so perhaps we should call him Tornado Tim from now on. So with everybody, please, let's give a warm welcome to Pastor Tim.
Come on now, that's what I'm talking about. Here we can, yeah, we can get that volume down just a little bit. That'd be pretty groovy. I appreciate so much being here at this church. Y'all, like my sister Kathy has talked about, we've had a long relationship. How many of y'all kids have been to Azalea to be where my mission is? Amen. You know, there's a saying in sales, you know, we're not surprised if you're there, you're surprised if you're still there. Amen. And I've been so glad to see that the youth group here has continued to come back to love on my kids. We have work in about 31 different apartment complexes around the Metroplex. Basically, wherever there's a lot of immigrants and refugees living in an apartment complex, I probably have work somewhere nearby there. And we've been working at Azalea all the way since 96. So I don't know if any of y'all remember Bobby Shaw or not. But Bobby and I worked together all the way back since about 97, working at Woodgate, as my sister Kathy was talking about. But to have a church come on board and work with me for long term, it's very unusual. And so I've got to admit, I'm a little bit surprised that we haven't immediately got a pastor here, because this church is awesome, baby. And I'm telling you, any church that gets to come and be on board with y'all is going to be blessed in a major way. Amen. Now, I've got one thing to say first up. This is not a dress. Amen? Yes. It is from India. I work with a lot of Bengalis from India. Have y'all ever seen Global Mall? Do y'all know Global Mall? Right on Jimmy Carter and right by 85. I've got a lot of work in that area. The Bengali people, about half the kids that I work with in Shambly are from Bangladesh. How many of y'all know what Ramadan is? The end of that 28 days of fasting, they have what is called Eid, which is kind of their big Christmas party. They give a bunch of gifts to everybody like that, and they dress up. So this is my Eid thing. This is called a kurta. What's it called? I was speaking at a conference in South Carolina a couple weeks ago, and I had this little girl was going, "You're wearing a dress, Mr. Tim, you're wearing a dress." I kept telling them, "Sister, this is called a kurta. It's not a dress." To which she replied, "That's just Indian for dress." So I don't. I'm not from this country. I'm from East Africa. I've been glad that we had this lost and found. I'm going to do something with y'all that's from Africa. Have any of y'all know the Doraville MARTA station? Amen? Well, for years, we had a group of taxi drivers there. They're no longer there. They've taken the taxis away from that spot. But every Wednesday night for years, I would go over there and I would work with those taxi drivers. And I'm from Africa, so I always like to be with African people. Just like I'm sure whenever you see someone that's from China that looks Chinese, don't you go, "Ni hao, ni hao, good to see you," right? Are you right? And that's so I'm very strongly attracted to my African friends. And so I was there every Wednesday night. You'd see this group of Africans. We'd all be rocking out in this one white guy. Amen? So you see the guys getting off of MARTA going, "What the heck's going on over there?" So we would sing. I'd take them some coffee or something like that, and we'd have a good time together. So I'm going to teach you a little bit of African business, and I'm going to ask a big favor. And I don't ask this at every church, but I am asking this for that church. Will you guys stand up? Just have everybody stand up. Will y'all all stand up with me? And will you guys do me the enormous honor of moving over here? Would you just move over here? Come on over and kind of get over in this spot so I don't have to kind of get all the way over there. Amen? Y'all feeling me on that? So we're just going to kind of get together like that. That's okay with you. Now, I'm a Baptist guy. I preach with a lot of different places. And you know, it's unbelievable the resistance that I get. Do any of y'all feel like you've got your little tag on the chair and this is where I always sit and somebody else better not be sitting in my chair, man? So thank you. Give it up for the east side of the congregation, baby. Like I said, I don't always do that because I can tell some of the people, man, I am not, you could not blow me out of this thing with C4, man. So thanks again for that thing. I want you to imagine we're back in Africa now. And we could be back in Africa. What we do is we're going to sing a little song like this. In Africa, now good, we got some people already. We're getting warmed up, I can tell. Very good. In Africa, what we do is we would take a handkerchief. Hopefully there's not boogers on it. Amen? And you would wave it around like this. And we would go all the way around, just in a big circle around that, telling the Lord, hey, don't forget me, Lord. Here I am. Amen? So this song is called My Savior's Gone to Prepare Me a Place. Is that like Dunwoody? Where is that place? Heaven, amen, heaven. My Savior's gone to prepare me a place. I have another world in view, Brother Michael. I have another world in view. So, you know, I've heard that the Chinese people can rock. Is it true? The song goes like this, and you're allowed to rock a bit. No, I will not rock. You're allowed to move about. If you want to clap, that's a good thing too. Goes like this. My Savior's gone to prepare me a place. I have another world in view, in view. My Savior's gone to prepare me a place. I have another world in view. Hallelujah, I have another world in view, in view. I have another world in view. Hallelujah, I have another world in view, in view. I have another world in view. Okay, I think I was singing solo. Shishi. But we're going to sing this one together, okay? We ready? We ready? Here we go. Everybody going to sing?
Yeah.
Front row. My Savior's gone to prepare me a place. I have another world in view, in view. My Savior's gone to prepare me a place. I have another world in view. Hallelujah, I have another world in view, in view. I have another world in view. Hallelujah, I have another world in view, in view. I have another world in view. One more time. My Savior's gone to prepare me a place. I have another world in view, in view. My Savior's gone to prepare me a place. I have another world in view. Hallelujah. Another world in view, in view. I have another world in view. Hallelujah. I have another world in view, in view. Big finish. I have another world in view. Amen. God be seated. Now, I'm going to teach you some Swahili. Are you for learning Swahili? Yes? No? Yes.
Yeah.
Swahili I'm going to teach you now is Bwana Asifiwe. Can you say it with me?
Bwana Asifiwe.
Bwana Asifiwe means praise the Lord. So when I'm preaching and you feel like praise the Lord, you can say Bwana Asifiwe. And then I become very happy. Amen?
Amen.
We had a talk about lost and found today. The prodigal son is probably my favorite out of all of the stories that Jesus told. But you know, when you're working with people from unreached people groups, and I just want to remind you how unique Atlanta is. If you were to think about a city with a big international population, what city comes into mind?
New York.
New York City. Most people say New York City, but New York has got nothing compared to Atlanta, Georgia, where we have, when we took the census, over 145 different countries represented. How many countries? And according to my friends at Head Start, they said there are over 761 language groups represented in Metroplex Atlanta. How many languages? Man, you guys rock up here in the front row. Thank you so much. 761 language groups. And according to my friends on the North American Mission Board, when we had the president of them come here to Alpharetta not too long ago, they asked him, they said, Dr. Rankin, out of about 5,000 unreached people groups worldwide, how many are represented right here in Atlanta, Georgia? And with a hesitation, he said over 90%. Over 90% of the world's unreached people groups are represented right here in Atlanta, Georgia. But the chance of them going to church is about the same chance of you waking up on a Friday morning saying, hey, let's go to the mosque. Now, how many of y'all even knew that Friday was the main holy day for Muslim people? Amen? So if we're going to reach all these countries, all these language groups, I want you guys on this side, I want y'all to say, take the church. Ready?
Take the church.
Over here to the people. Amen. That's what we're talking about. Because if we're just going to build another building, build it even more beautiful, and just expect all these people to just wander in, that's not going to happen anymore because we're living in the post-church era. We're having a missions conference here. I'm going to tell you what missions is all about. Can you do this with me? No, I don't want to, Mr. Tim. That's kind of gay. Go ahead and do it. Thank you. Missions is about this, Brother Martin. It's about one-on-one relationships. There's no shortcut for that. It's all about this one-on-one relationships. Now, this is how my friends at Southern Baptist, how we do missions. We take the biggest black Bible we can. Bam! Do you know Jesus? Because you're going to hell otherwise. Bam! I don't think that works very well. And I want to remind you of one other thing, and that is the three countries with the most non-Christians. Number one, China. Number two, India. Number three is the USA. So when we think about foreign missions has come to us. But we all have to be a missionary. And some of y'all may be thinking, you know what? We just need to wait till we get a new pastor. That's when we're going to do something for Jesus. But let me ask you a question. For you agricultural folks out there, who makes sheep? The sheep or the shepherd? Are you sure? Some of y'all look like you weren't quite sure. It's the sheep, Jack. So we can't always say, well, we got to wait for Pastor Roy, Pastor Jeff, Pastor whoever to come over here to do this work. Because I tell you what, if you ask any of those pastors, as soon as they find out that you're a pastor, what do you think their attitude is towards them? Think it changes? They'll say, I wish you would have told me that right before we fumbled on the 5-yard line, right? Of course it does. And all this young youth group here, man, isn't it beautiful to see all these young people here? Give it up for the young people, baby. And I like it that the young people even clap for themselves. I dig that, man. That's good self-esteem, amen? Yes. This is the future of the church. And let me tell you, my friends, if you think it's the old people that does this mission thing, you're wrong. Amen? It's not. The point of the Spirit is always the youth. And sometimes the youth just got to grab mom and daddy and say, come on, let's go, let's go. Amen? How many times have my young people come to Azalea? 10, 15 times? And yet I can count on about 2 hands how many times I've seen the grown-ups come. Amen? Except for yesterday. Brother Martin, did you find that a blessing yesterday?
Absolutely.
Amen? Stand up and just say that for them so they know you're not kidding.
Absolutely.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Now, when you work with all these unreached people groups, it's kind of like you have to keep going back to what's the basic, what is the furthest we can go back. Like when I worked in Madagascar, they had no word for sin. Everybody went to heaven because after they died, they went to be with the ancestors. And in Madagascar, they built their houses out of mud, but their graves were built out of stone. Because that's where they spent the rest of their lives. So it's difficult to find where's a starting place when you're going to talk to this stuff. So when we're working like when I did at Azalea, work with my Bengali kids who are Muslim, we've started what we call chronological. And what does that mean if it's chronological? Starts from the beginning, it goes like this. Bible stories. Chronological storytelling. So we do a lot of storytelling. And in my country, in Africa, we do a lot of storytelling. Amen? How many? Is that a common cultural thing in China too? It's telling stories to give you the wisdom of our families, right? It's very common. It's an oral culture. So I'm going to give you a story like I do back in Africa, okay? So you can imagine that I'm back in Africa. We got a bunch of the men that are just sitting around over here. You know, it's just in the grass. You know, we don't have a fancy building like this with the red carpet. Amen. I feel like I'm an Oscar night or something, you know. So I tell them a story like this. One day there was a chief, and he was very wealthy. Oh, perhaps he's wearing something very modern like this, right? He's the chief. And one day, his son told him, "Father, I'm tired of living here in this small village. I want to go to the big city, because that's where the wild women are, all right?" Yes, you are. You know it. So usually when someone gets an inheritance, what has had to happen? Father has to die, right? So do you think it's unusual for the son to say, "Give me my money now, even though you're not dead yet"? Amen? Very unusual. Father said, "Okay, I will give you the money." Do you think he thought that was a good idea? Do you think he knew that that son was going to be a bit silly and naughty? Do you think so? Do any of y'all know some naughty children? There was no guessing there. It doesn't sound like they can be naughty. So the father said, "Okay, I'm going to give you the inheritance." So he gave him all of the money, and you could see the son was walking down the street with the pockets full of monies. He was feeling so wealthy. He walked all the way to the big city. Now, as soon as this fellow comes into the big city, you know they can all tell this guy is not from around here. All right? He looks a little bit shabby, not like the father right now, right? Looks a bit shabby. His Swahili is not that good. You know, he doesn't do everything just right. You can tell he's from the bush. But when he starts to pull out the money, you know what happens? "We like you so much. We're your best friend. Oh, you're wonderful. We like you a lot." Right? Well, the son is a bit silly. So when all these people go like, "Oh, you're so cute. I like you so much." The boy was thinking, "Hey, maybe I'm very nice. You know, they like me a lot." Right? So, of course, they've got the bar there, and my friend says, "I'm going to buy everyone a drink." They're going, "Yeah, yeah, we like this fella." So it's getting drinking. And the girls, "Oh, baby, I like you a lot. You're very cute. Ooh, let's go on." Again, that fellow was just silly boy, so he thought that girl really liked him. Amen? Every day, he kept spending money on them. They think, "Oh, it's our best friend. We're so glad to see you. You're so cute. You're so beautiful. We love you so much." Every day, until what happened? He pulls out the last bill, and all it is just a mint wrapper. That's not even money. So those people, do you think they're going, "Don't worry, we're going to take care of you, poor village fellow"? Do you think they said that? "You are a stupid boy. We never liked you. You didn't smell that good. You're dressed like a country boy. Your Swahili's terrible. There's the door. Go away." Well, that silly fellow was quite surprised by that. In Swahili, we say, "Shangad," we don't even know what to say. So we're like, "What? I thought we were the best friends. How can you be throwing me out?" But they did. Because that's the way secular people look. That's how they do it. And secular people, if they don't like you, they say, "There's the door," right? So he went outside. Now, you know, back in the country, it can become very cold. Has it been cold recently? Can you feel cold? Do you want to go outside and let's just sleep on the grass because it's 40 degrees, it's nice outside? So this fellow was very cold. Now you remember, where is he from? Who was his father? The chief. He was used to having servants. He was used to having a very nice place. Now he's become cold. So he's going around, where am I going to keep warm? So he goes over here and he sees these pigs. How many of you have ever been around pigs? They are stinky fellows. Terrible. They are so stinky you want to get up and leave. Allah. That's okay. I got the best part yet, baby. Hang on now. So they come over there, and he decides he's going to just sleep with the pigs to try to keep him warm at night. So he's snuggling with the pigs trying to keep him warm. He's becoming so very hungry. He says, perhaps I could just look at this corn that they're eating. Picking up the corn, there's some pig poop on it. He's trying to clean it off. It's uncooked. He's trying, this is terrible. I'm getting my stomach is hurting. The pigs don't like me. I'm making them cold. You know, it's terrible. So he's sitting there. When he's got guts like this, when he's eating this terrible food, he's going, you know what? I should go home because my father is the chief and even the servants have food and they're warm. They're not sleeping with the pigs. But do you think that he think father would be happy with him? No. In his mind, he's thinking father is going to take a big stick and beat him. Bo, waste all that money on those bad girls. Bam, bam. So he didn't really, you know, he was a bit scared. So he gets up and he says, I'm going to go back home. I'm tired of sleeping with pigs. So he goes back home. Now back home, do you think father had forgotten naughty son? Doesn't matter how naughty your children are. Do you think father still loved that son? So I imagine because he was the chiefy, he had binoculars. He was looking very carefully. He knew the road to the city. He was waiting for child to come home. One day, many days later, he saw a very small speck in the horizon. Allah, he's coming closer. He looks, he says, that looks a little bit like son, but he's very dirty and he's so skinny. That can't be son, because when he was home, he was a bit of a chub, you know? He comes a little bit closer. He says, that is my son. He puts binoculars down. Oh, my son. Oh, and he picks that son up. And son is going, no, father, you cannot have me as a son because I've been very bad. I'm not worthy to be your son. And father goes, no, come here, because you were once dead, but now you're alive. Amen. Now, my friends, that is exactly the way that the Father sees us. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that when you come to church on Sunday, when you come to church on Wednesday night or Thursday night or Friday night during the conference, and when you put a big tithe in that offering plate, do you think that makes God like you more? And if you're naughty, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you've ever did anything naughty before. Amen? But if you're naughty, if you've done something bad, do you think, Brother Michael, that that makes God love you any less? But that is the way secular people see God. You know, Christians, we understand about His love, just as the Father loves that Son. Secular people, they see Him like this. You've done something bad, God goes, you did this, I don't like. That's the way they see God, eternally kind of, you know, mad at you. Do you think that's the way God is? And all those unchurched people, again, raise your hand if you worked with me yesterday at that outreach. Raise your hand with me. Amen. Thank you for that. Did you see those people say, we don't want you Christians over here. Y'all get out of here. Is that what we heard? Did they seem like they were excited that we were there? Do you know why? Do y'all know what is the number one killer of our teenagers? Do you know what that is in America? It's suicide. Suicide, where they kill themselves. Do you know why teenagers say that? It's because they are so lonely. Now, I know that as we get into looking at a new pastor, I know a lot of us think, all we need is a new pastor. Once we get that new pastor up here, boy, people are just going to be coming in. They're just going to be, well, we're not going to have a place to sit. But once we get that new pastor there. But you know what the research says? Do you know why people come to church? Do you know why? Because someone invited them. They said, man, we're having a great thing going on Sunday. We'd love to see you there. Is there anything I can pray for you about? Are you feeling me? That is not the pastor, and I think it's appropriate there's nobody standing up there right now. Amen? I very rarely preach from up there. Do you know why? Well, we got the sanctified seminary guys up here, up at a high level up here with Abraham, preached up, prayed up, guys. We're down here, you know, kind of common folk. Not that great. Super preached up pastor, guys. Yeah! The rest of us over here just kind of hanging in there. Amen? I mean, one of them hanging in there, guys. Are you feeling me? There's nothing special about me. Besides, I just like to go, baby, you're looking good, baby. I'm in the loving on people business. Are you feeling me? About 3 months ago, we were at our after school program. Did any of y'all meet Mozana? It's one of our Bengali girls. Anyway, one of the mothers comes in. Her name is Rashida. And she says, Mr. Tim, have you seen Mozana? Well, it was, you know, very unusual for her to be late because she's one of those very mature 13-year-old girls who's not silly, she's not naughty. So she comes over there and I say, she's probably just got on the wrong bus or something because the other kids said they had had a change of buses. So that was at 4 o'clock. 5 o'clock, she's still not there. We're like, well, you know, something must have happened. 6 o'clock, still not there, and I send my wife to the school. By that time, we've got cops coming in here because we've got this missing child. Now, the school is about as far from here to the road. That's not very far, right? How could somebody get lost from here to the road, right? So we get very upset. 7 o'clock comes. It starts to get dark. There's about 50 of these Bengali families over there, all worried about Mozana. Where's Mozana? Where's Mozana? Kathy and I get in our car. We're driving around. Mozana! Mozana! Calling for as loud as we can, hoping we can find you. I'm walking around on these trails trying to find Mozana. Still Mozana. No Mozana. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, completely dark. Still don't know where she is. Now, you get a 13-year-old girl that's like 5 hours late, you start thinking the worst. What's going on? Has somebody kidnapped her? What's happening? 10 o'clock coming on there. Still no Mozana. And you can hear from her mother's apartment, oh! Just wailing as loud as she can because she's missing her daughter. 11 o'clock comes, still not Mozana. We don't know what else to do. There's 50, 60 cops combing the place. So my wife, Kathy, and I say, I guess we need to go home. There's nothing else we can do. So we go home, but you can imagine what it would be like if one of your children were missing, how you would feel. And those children, when you work with them every day, they become like your children. So we went home, and I was just, you know, my wife is going, don't you think you should talk to her mother? And I'm like, what can I say? My heart's broken too. I don't know what to say. So we go home. 6 o'clock in the morning, my wife shakes me. She's heard on the radio that they found Mozana. Amen? We're like, oh, thank God she's been found. But the point of the matter is, she is still lost. Now, if all of your friends were Muslim, and your mother and daddy were Muslim, and your grandparents were Muslim, what religion do you think you'd be? It's not like they take a spreadsheet and say, oh, Christianity, here's Islam, here's Buddhism, oh, yeah, Christianity, that sounds like the best one. That's not what it is. It's all a cultural thing. Amen? And I want you to repeat after me, I am a missionary. Who's a missionary? We are all missionaries. We're all missionaries. That's not just Mr. Tim's job, Pastor Tim's job. That's all of our jobs, right? Are you feeling me on that? Let's pray together. Everybody here for praying? Listen, just double check. If you got a phone that might go off, this is the time it's going to go off. So for the next few minutes, if you could just check your phone and make sure it's not going to ring. The devil loves that. Amen? All right, thank you very much. The rest of y'all, we can go ahead and take a good deep breath and close your eyes. And just close your eyes now. Very good. We'll be done in just a minute. One more good deep breath. kind of center ourselves, center our mind to what Jesus talks about when you go into your closet and pray. To get away from everything. We'll be done in just a second, so focus on this. Don't let the evil one just say, well, we got to go eat. Focus on this for just a second. Very good. Now, I want you to think about a time you were especially close to Jesus. It might have been at a retreat. It might have been at a mission experience you took in New Mexico with the Indians. Wherever that was, I want you to think about when that special time was. And when you've got that in your mind, again, I want you to nod your head. I know exactly what you're talking about, Mr. Tim. I know when I felt that close. And if you could imagine having like a volume knob that you could turn up and make that even more brighter, even more close, like it was just happening now, I want you to do that with me right now. And for some of you all, say, well, I don't really think in pictures, Tim. When I close my eyes, it's all dark. Then just describe it in words. Just describe what it was like. Now I want you to think about a picture of Jesus that you've had. When I was a kid, we always had the Bibles that had pictures of Jesus. Might have been him knocking on the door. Might have him praying at Golgotha next to that rock. But whatever it is, I want you to think about a picture of Jesus. And again, when you've got that in your mind, I want you to nod your head. Know exactly what you're talking about. Very good. Now I want you to merge those two. That feeling that you had when you were so close to Jesus with that picture of whatever you think Jesus looks like in your mind. And when you look at Jesus, he's looking at you as if your grandparents did when you've been away for a long time, and they're so glad to see you, just like the father did with that son. We're so glad to see you. We love you so much. I'm so glad to see you, son. Oh, daughter, I'm so glad to see you. It's that pure love. It's nothing that's negative or bad, whatever. It's just complete love. That's the way that Jesus is looking at you. When you've got his attention right now, I just want you to tell him thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I had Christian parents that brought me here. Thank you for that special person that invited me to our church today. Thank you. Thank you to Jesus. Now, I'm not sure if you're worried about something this morning. It might be a health thing going on. My mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. She's going to have surgery on Thursday. That's something I'm worried about. Might be a financial thing. Don't know what's going on with their job, the economy. Might be a love thing. You're just lonely. You wish you had somebody to love. Whatever it is, whatever you're worried about, I want you to give that to Jesus right now. Just say, I'm tired of worrying about all this stuff. I'm tired of worrying about who's going to be our next pastor. I'm tired of worrying about all that. I just give it to you, Jesus. You're a lot smarter than me. Just give it to him. Now, I'd like for you to think right now about somebody that you know is not a Christian. It might be part of your extended family. That happens a lot now. And when you've got that person, that name or that face in your mind, again, I want you to nod your head. I know exactly who you're talking about, Tim. Now, if you will pray for that person every day until they ask you a question of a spiritual nature, it may sound like a prayer request, something bad that happens, but you'll pray with them right then. You'll pray for them every day until they ask you something like that. I want you to raise your hand. Pastor Tim, I will definitely do that. I will pray for that person every day until they ask me a question. Sounds like a spiritual nature of very good. Thank you very much. Now, that is not a Tim thing, that is a him thing. So do not be surprised when that goes on. And I know in many missions conferences, they set goals. We're going to raise money for missions. How much money we're going to support. And when you think about that, about how much money would I be willing to give, I want you to imagine that you were Mosanna's parents and you had lost your child and they had a ransom. How much would you be willing to give to make sure that that child got back safely? And that is the same amount you should prayerfully consider giving to missions. Because the Father sees all those lost people just as you see your son or daughter, my friend, no differently. Jesus, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters here right now. I just lift them up in a powerful way. This church is a lighthouse for so many people. And I thank you for the youth, and I thank you for their parents that support the youth. And Lord, I just ask a powerful blessing on them, a shield of protection around them. And Lord, I just bind the evil and any kind of spirit of fear or apprehension that when their friend says something about Jesus or asking a question, that at that time we'll pray for them. We'll say the word that they need to hear. And we won't be scared. Jesus, we just thank you that you are still in the miracle working business. Lord, we know you've got that exact right man of God to be here with his family. We turn all of that over there to you. And Lord, just as we've seen yesterday when we went and took the church to the people, that there are people all around us, that need your word. Lord, just give us the strength and courage to do that. We ask this all in your name. Amen.